In Paul's letters to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've all been, if not all, many of us have been meditating on, especially on these days and months, not just because of these days and months, but we have taken time to fast and pray and meditate on the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, and we've been reading and thinking and meditating on what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. And it culminated in resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is why we are here this morning. We're here because He is alive. We believe that He is alive. Amen. And so Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to 20, you read, "For those who were questioning the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And this is what he says, if you can follow me, chapter 15, verse 12, 1 Corinthians. "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." Hallelujah. Amen. "The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." That's the word of the Lord. You know, resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation on which Christian faith and life stands. Do you know that? It is not just some story that took place 2,000 years ago. It is the foundation, very foundation of Christian faith. Without Christ's resurrection, our Christian faith is empty and ineffective. Are you with me? The world is not against Christ. The world is not against the person called Jesus Christ, this historical person called Jesus Christ, or they're not against His teaching. They're not against His good teaching and the work He's done. But the moment you say that Jesus is alive, that's what they're against. They don't want to believe that Jesus is alive. The world is against the risen Jesus, not the teacher Jesus. The world is not against the teacher Jesus. The world is against the Jesus who is the Savior of the world, who is risen and is alive. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter that we just read from 15, Paul says that, you know, he mentions, if you look, you will find, you as you read, there are six things that would be an absolute mess if Christ did not rise from the dead. Are you with me? On the other hand, if Christ indeed rose from the dead, then these things must be the longing of our heart. Are you with me? If these things, these six, if Christ is not risen, we're wasting our time. In short, that's what Paul is saying. If Christ is not being raised, he goes on to say, verse 14, our preaching is useless. What I'm doing right now is a waste of time. Secondly, if Christ is not risen, your faith is useless, Paul says. What you believe is useless and baseless. Thirdly, Paul says that if Christ is not risen, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. Well, you know what we've been doing, Paul says? We've been testifying about God that he raised Christ from the dead. And if Christ is not risen, we are lying. It's false witness. Fourthly, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile because you are still in sin. Are you with me? And if Christ is not risen, fifthly, who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. They have no hope. Are you with me? If Christ is not risen, sixthly, we are of all people, Paul says, to be pitied, most to be pitied. Paul is saying this, we are hopeless. You should be pitied upon if Christ is not risen. But we know that he is risen, don't we? That's why you're here. You're not here to celebrate some religious festival. That's why I didn't say Happy Easter, because it has so many connotations. The world, the moment you say Easter, it talks about chocolate eggs, which I love, and bunnies, which has nothing to do with Easter. You eat chocolate eggs, no problem with me. But if Christ is not risen in your life, you're wasting your time by eating all those chocolates. You'll just puff up. But because Christ is risen, since Christ has been raised, our preaching is not useless. What I'm doing is worthwhile. And I'm proud about that. And you should also be if you are sharing the good news. If Christ is risen, our faith is not useless. You with me? If Christ is risen or is being raised, the apostles are not false witnesses because they were the primary witness of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection and his ascension. Since Christ has been raised, our faith is not futile and we are not still in our sins. Hallelujah. We are not in our sins. We are not in the bondage of sin any longer. We are not slaves to sin any longer. Since Christ has been raised, the dead in Christ have not perished. Are you with me? That's why Paul says that we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We grieve with hope for those who die in Christ. And since Christ has been raised, we are not to be pitied. Let me restate all these statements in order or a pattern that goes with our experience with it as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is risen, these things, six things should not be just something we know and believe. Rather, if truly believe that Christ is risen, then this should become our longing. Are you with me? This should be our desire. Because we believe that Christ is risen. It is not just some religious faith that we have that can change with time. But this is a longing that we have because this we believe for with life and in death. And so, firstly, verse 17, because of the resurrection, we are forgiven of our sins. We are forgiven. I am forgiven. I stand amazed. Because I am forgiven, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, who has forgiven me. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven. This is our basic need. In fact, this is the basic need of every human being. Even those who do not believe that there is something called sin, there is every human being struggles and battles with guilt and remorse of what they have done. And they don't know where to wash it off. They don't know how to get rid of. But because Christ is risen and because I put my faith in Him, I know that I am forgiven, past, present, and future. I am forgiven. This is the foundation of every other blessing from God that you see in the scripture. Where? It starts with the forgiveness that you and I have received from Jesus Christ. And how is resurrection crucial to this forgiveness of our sins? Because Jesus took our sin. Jesus took our shame. Jesus took our condemnation. Jesus took the wages of sin that is debt that we were supposed to bear and live with. He took it upon Himself and died on that cross for you and me. He bore our sins. And He took, and it says that the Father put all the wrath upon Him. He was not sinful, but He became sin, who knew no sin, so that we might become righteousness. Hallelujah. It may not make sense to you right now, and it'll never make sense to me. How can He take my sin? But the truth and the reality is He's taken my sin upon the cross forever. And that's why He said, it is finished. We've received forgiveness of sin. Paul says in Romans 4:25, he puts it like this, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That means so that we can stand justified before the Creator God. That we can stand righteous before God. He paid the penalty through His death. He has set us free from the clutches of sin and the slavery of sin, and has given us the garment of righteousness and taken away our shame, our condemnation. So Christ rose from the dead, and because of that, I am forgiven. Can we say that? I am forgiven. Do you believe that? If you truly believe that Jesus Christ, through His death and resurrection, has forgiven, say that, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Secondly, from verse 14, because of the resurrection, our faith is well grounded. Are you with me? Our faith is well grounded. In other words, because of the resurrection of Jesus, there is someone we can absolutely trust. Are you with me? There's someone that you can trust your life with. There's someone that we can count upon in our time of need. There's someone who is absolutely trustworthy. You may have people that you rely on. You may have people that you trust, and they may disown you. They may be unfaithful to you. But I can assure you that if you have put your trust in Jesus, who's risen and who's alive, you will never be disappointed. Because He is trustworthy. If He can give His life as a ransom for you, how much more He could do for you. Galatians chapter 2:20. It says that I have been crucified with Christ. This is Paul's assurance. It's Paul's assurance that I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. His trust is so much. It's like the trust between a husband and a wife. When you're married, when you become one flesh. It's no longer I live it. I live for my wife or I live for my husband. It is our life. It's not my life. It is sin that makes us selfish and makes us saying, my, it's about me. But it is Christ that makes us to rely on him. It's his resurrection life that makes us, his forgiveness that causes us to trust him and could say like Paul, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's about Christ. The life I now live in the body. Yes, I live in this world, in this broken, shattered world. I live in this body. I live by faith in the Son of God, because there is no other way I could live on this earth. I need to live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the resurrection good news, church. That is the good news that you and I can go away with. So, because Christ is risen, we have been forgiven. Because Christ is risen, we have, second, our faith is well grounded. Thirdly, from verse 15, because of the resurrection, the apostles preach what is true. We can rely on the eyewitnesses' account. They are not false witnesses about God. In other words, the gospel writings are inspired by the Holy Spirit. What is inspired by the Holy Spirit is true account of what the apostles saw. As John says, I have not only seen, but I've been with him and touched him. This is the true witness speaking. If they were speaking the lie, they would not give their life for this gospel. They would not put their head to be cut off. They would not throw themselves to be burned alive. It's because they truly saw him. They truly walked with him, this Jesus, that they could say, he is alive. We're living in a postmodern society where our children and even us, many of us, and our young people are being taught that there is no absolute truth. Truth is relative. What is true for you is not true for someone else. That's the time that we live in. But the resurrection of Jesus tells us there is only one truth, and that Jesus is alive. And he is the way, the life, and the truth. And no one can come to the Father through without him. No one can come to the Father. Oh no, there are many ways to Rome. Many road leads to Rome, maybe to the Rome, but not to heaven. Not to God. There's only one way, church. And I am not ashamed. I'm not afraid to proclaim this, that there is only one way. Because Jesus said that. And if Jesus said that, he is either, as an apologist put it this way, if Jesus said and what he did and the way he lived, he is either a liar or a lunatic or he is the Lord. Choice is yours. If Jesus, the man, the Son of God, what he said and what he did and the way he lived, either you can call him a liar or you call him a lunatic. Or the only other option is to do what? To call him Lord. And I know the reason you are here is because you believe that he is Lord. Amen. We've been forgiven. Our faith is well grounded. And the scripture that we have is true eyewitness account. The gospel that we read. Fourthly, our faith is valuable. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. If Jesus is risen, it is valuable. It is meaningful. It is valid. It is significant. If Christ is not raised, then living for him, doing what he says, following his will is it's nothing else than delusion if Christ is not alive. What we're doing is because we are deluded. And I know many philosophers and atheists have tried to write that off, to write Christ off, to write off our faith, calling us deluded. But if Christ is truly risen, our faith is valuable. That's what Paul could write, you know, more than anyone else. Paul, who persecuted the church. Paul, who was breathing, by scripture says that he was breathing death. He was going around and catching the followers of Jesus Christ and killing them. But he's saying this, and when he came to know this Christ, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Are you with me? Because Christ is risen, Jesus said, "In this world you will have what? Trouble. But be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. And that's what Paul is saying. In other words, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. All that the enemy might throw at us." And I believe there is in every one of us the longing that our lives be well spent. Isn't that true? We all want to live a good life. Even those who don't believe in God want to live a good life. We want to live a good life. We don't want to waste away. We want our life to be counted or valued. We want our life to be significant and useful. We don't want to come to the end of our days and say it was a vain life. It was empty and pointless. We want our life to be significant. That's why in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, at chapter 15, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." You know what you're doing today? And what you do at workplace when you talk about the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Remember that. Every opportunity that you use to proclaim the gospel, your labor is not in vain. That's the longing of our lives. Let this be the longing and prayer, that Lord, let my life count for your glory. Let it not be a waste. Let it not be a useless life. Let it not be wasted, because Christ is risen. What I do is valuable. Fifthly, because of the resurrection, we are not to be pitied. Rather, we are to be envied. World hates us. Do you know that? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you say that Jesus is alive and there is no other way, if you just live a normal life and you don't talk about Jesus being alive and don't talk about Jesus as the only Savior, nobody's going to bother you. The moment you say that Jesus, when you say exclusively that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and you wait and see what happens. They'll call you, "You are crazy. You are a lunatic. The world will hate you," and Jesus warned us that, isn't he? "The world will not love you. It will hate you and persecute you." You know, because they don't understand the joy that you have received even in suffering. Even in suffering. And I know people who don't believe in Christ and see or ministering or serving somebody who is in a lot of pain but has their trust in the Lord, and they ask you, "How can you be so happy even in this pain? How can you still praise God?" I like what Job said. "If I can receive all good things from God, why can't I receive the suffering?" He says that, and that's why he was able to confidently say, even if my life is wasting away, I know that my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. We're being envied. We are to be envied because our sins are forgiven. We are to be envied because our sins of past, present, and the future are forgiven. We've got to be envied because our faith is grounded. We've got to be envied because we have the truth, the Word of God. We've got to be envied because God's eternal promises are our inheritance. We are to be envied because our preaching is not in vain. It is full, meaningful, valid, and significant. And finally, there is this longing that we shall live forever in eternal joy. Don't we? That we not come to an empty end after a full and valuable life. That we not become a zero or worse. And so Paul says in verse 18 that because Christ is raised, those who have fallen asleep in him, those who have died in faith, have not perished. In other words, they are alive, even though they are dead, because of Jesus Christ who is risen. They live because Jesus is alive. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that's the greatest news that the world could ever hear. That God and his Son are most, as John Piper puts it, is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in you when you're most satisfied in him. And to make that true, God raised Jesus Christ from death to reign forevermore. As I come to the close, let me repeat this. In raising Jesus from death, he gave us forgiveness and glorified Jesus as the all-sufficient forgiver. In raising Jesus from them, he gave us a friend to count on, to trust on, to utterly depend on. He gave us a guidance and unchanging truth and glorified Jesus as the absolute foundation for truth and righteousness. He gave us life through his resurrection, and that is not pitiable but enviable, a ministry that is not in vain but fruitful, and glorified Jesus as the source and goal of our life, and all ministry is him and him alone. So friends, what about you this morning? Do you have this assurance? Do you have this longing? Do you have this assurance that yes, I am forgiven? Do you have this assurance that my faith is well grounded? Do you have this assurance? Come on, church. Come on. Come on. What did I say? What was the next one? Should I start again? No, Lotus says. Thank you, Chukuma. We have the assurance that the word, the gospel that we read, the good news that we read and preach is reliable. And fourthly, let's start all over again. Our faith is not a Chukuma is saving you guys. Our faith is valuable. Fifthly, if you are hungry, I'm hungry. Sorry? We are not pitiable, but we are envied. And finally, We live forever. But that's not how we live quite often. We live as if we are going to have our life here. You know, sometimes we say that, you know, sometimes when somebody passes or somebody dies, we say, he had a full life. Don't we say that? But the true reality is, if Christ is not in that life, that's not a full life. You may die a young man or woman, you will still have a full life if Christ is in you. But you may be 90 or 100, and if Christ is not there, that's not a full life. It's Christ, his resurrection life, that makes a full life. So let's stand together, church. Come on. Let's stand together and give him glory that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Say, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And I stand on solid grounds. My Jesus is alive. And so will I be. Eternal life is mine. Because of Jesus Christ. So let's sing together. Come on.